This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. People think that AIDS is a death sentence, especially in Africa, and that nothing can be done. Stay tuned and find out how resilient people can be. The World Factbook estimates that of 33 million Kenyans, 7% are living with the HIV/AIDS virus, but most believe that estimate is low. Red earth and green fields as far as the eye can see. But AIDS has touched the lives of almost every family in Kitale, a small agricultural town in western Kenya, known for its corn and bean production. Marian Olay missioner Marge Humphrey takes care of hundreds of people with HIV/AIDS in the Kitale AIDS Project. So we went to visit and speak with her colleagues to find out how the rural poor deal with the disease. The Kitale AIDS Project was founded by the medical missionaries of Mary. They offer AIDS testing and counseling, medical treatment, and free or low-cost TB and antiretroviral drugs. We speak with the project's medical staff, Sister Mary, Lucy, and Clara.
A lot of the people who come here are already very sick, and they have been getting treatment here and there and everywhere without getting better because people have not talked to them about HIV or the possibility of HIV. So in many cases, the people are quite relieved that you will bring up the subject of HIV, and they are very happy, actually, to be finally diagnosed, especially when they know that we can follow them up here and give them treatment. And even more so now in the light of we will be getting cheap antiretroviral drugs, it's really encouraging people to come more for tests. But it's not easy. I think one of the most difficult things is they're young, married people, and the tests may be positive themselves, and then they ask you to test some of the children, and the children test positive. That can be very hard for the parents to take, hard for us as carers to take.
The case that disturbed me is one of a patient that we got. He was very sick, and the CD4 count was very low, and we started him on antiretroviral, and he picked up. And because of his culture, he was kind of stopped from the treatment and was taken home. I felt very helpless and I didn't know what was best and how even to go about it. I felt if I was in a position, I would have gone back for him and grab him and tell him what he's doing to his health and to his life. But we just had to let it go because the patient has his rights, has a decision to make, and seemingly we are not clear whether it was the patient who decided to stop the treatment or it was the family. I really felt very helpless. In our work, and some cultures are very strong, maybe it's even being bewitched, or maybe they believe on herbal treatment, and that was a challenge really to us and how to go about it, such cases. That's just one of the many cases that we encounter that are really challenging.
Can you talk a little bit about the culture and why that would be such a strong force?
Okay, this particular patient that I'm referring to comes from one of the western part of the country, whereby they have so much attachment of being bewitched. So I have a feeling that even from what he was talking initially, that he could have been bewitched. That could be still in his mind. So some may not have been fully accepted his diagnosis. So environment or locality of the people. Second, they also believe on local medicine. And know that there's one particular person from his area that claims to be having AIDS treatment. So I think that is from where he has come, that's what I'm thinking, that's what has really contributed to his non-compliance with the ARVs.
We have 21 people on antiretroviral drugs now. Most of those are sponsored between Marge getting sponsorship and we ourselves getting sponsorship. But we're hoping to have the antiretrovirals, which will only cost about 500 shillings a month to the patient. And again, we have so many poor people. Most of them will not be able to afford it, but we will not stop it. We will give it to them free.
How do you view what is going on outside of Kenya and how does it influence your own country and your own region, and do you feel like there's a connection?
We know that ARV started from the European country. We understand that once the patient has been diagnosed with HIV, they are straight away started on the ARVs, and they are doing tremendous on the treatment. So that's something that is, I can say that it's good, because now at least you are able to get the ARVs and patients can get them. And hopefully now that the Western countries and the developing countries are kind of working together to see if the developing countries can get generics so that more people could be able to afford the ARVs and hence making them prolong their life.
And I think we had a good example yesterday of a young man who came in and his marriage had split up. His wife left him when he discovered he was HIV positive. He was very ill and he started on antiretroviral drugs here under Marge. And he has done extremely well. And just yesterday he was so happy. He's back at work. He was telling me that his wife has come back. So then when they come here, we will counsel them again as a couple to advise them what they should do and so on. But it's just very encouraging. It gives hope to people and it certainly gives us hope in doing this work. Because before this, we had so little to offer them. Although I must, you need to be clear that antiretroviral drugs are just not the answer. If people have no food, which a lot of people don't have, they don't have a basic diet, they're very poor, then you wouldn't be given them antiretroviral drugs to start because they need food first.
Besides living with AIDS, many of their clients struggle to meet basic needs such as food, housing, and school fees for their children. We speak with the project social worker, Lucy Berkin, who encourages women to start their own businesses when they feel better.
When you assist somebody to do a business, they psychologically they feel so comfortable. You see their health changing. We have a lady by the name Winnie Wanyonyi. Winnie is a mother of 11 children, though she adopted some. And we actually assisted her to buy. She's buying and selling food, cereals, that is maize, beans, and some other stuff. She's somebody that she started with no blanket, and right now she's very comfortable. I see her every day fighting and continuing in life, apart from the diseases that are disturbing her. You see her every day very happy because she's able, like any other woman, to provide for her family.
Investments in education have paid off. Lucy Berkin tells us about one of the many students they've helped go to school.
We have some children that we help them to finish education and they have gone to colleges, especially the firstborns, and they have come back to help their young ones. At the moment, we have a girl who is a nurse, and she's assisting her sisters who are learning in secondary education. And she was started here in primary and secondary also she did and passed her exams very well. And she went to the college, did very well, finished last year and has started working this year. And she's educating her sister who is also in secondary school and others that are at home. She's able to pay the rent. It really gives us a lot of hope and encouragement because when you see back what you have done and you see somebody is doing something, and they also come and say thank you.
Caring for orphans is a difficult problem. Lucy Berkin says that placing children in an orphanage is done as a last resort.
The main problem at the moment is that the number of orphans is going up and up every time. Yesterday when I visited some clans, I found one had died. And the only thing we can assist these children is by education. And at the moment, we are trying to take many girls and boys to the polytechnic so that they can do something with their own hands. We also have some orphans that we are helping them with food, and we also have some orphans that we have taken them to an orphanage. Actually, an orphanage is the last resort that we do because we don't like taking children to an orphanage. It makes the children to be away from the society and also from the extended family. Because Africans, we like staying. We have at least the extended families. But of late, the economic is a bit low that somebody is not able to take care of your own children. So adding other children is a problem. But people normally struggle. They don't like orphanages.
AIDS prevention is an uphill struggle worldwide. Most people are familiar with HIV/AIDS, but few consistently ensure that their behavioral practices keep them far from contracting the disease. Jacinta Fun Lyokin is the AIDS prevention educator of the Kitali AIDS program. She says that Western values about sex and money have made her work more difficult.
We don't really preach to people, do this, do that, that we help them talk about their lives and then try to link that up with the facts on HIV/AIDS. so that they can decide what turn should their life take to be safe from either getting or spreading HIV. I think a lot of the causes of AIDS here have to do with the change in lifestyle, which is often under the influence of Western lifestyle, introductions of things that have never been done here before. One example is people here love to watch soap operas from Western countries, The Bold and the Beautiful and what have you. I was asked recently, said, was it not very difficult for you to control yourself in sexual behavior? Because, you know, we know that in Europe, or in the West, you have sex just the way you buy a bread over the counter. That's what they see in The Bold and the Beautiful. So that kind of very free lifestyle has never been common here. But now, yeah, now it is. Money. Money can solve all your problems. It is this whole idea of everybody can become incredibly rich because the West is incredibly rich, the general picture of it. Because if money is the answer to everything, yet life is about more things than money alone.
Misconceptions about wealth have created a cycle in which corruption is acceptable. Jacinta hints at the problems with AIDS funding allocation.
The way the money issue is handled in giving out money to people, it all has to do with, if you have that money, why not me? If I don't use it for AIDS work, after all, you are very rich. I also have the right to put something in my pocket for my own family. People also consider that wrong here, but there is a lot in that financial area and norms that are being used there and the unjust society that I'm convinced plays a very major role in the way money is handled right now for AIDS work. And the idea that money, technical solutions can solve the problem is not true. There's money, millions coming in for AIDS, which of course is needed. But then the people in charge of that money, some of these people have deep pockets themselves. They are not caught. It becomes a bit of a norm. But they follow examples. I mean, for money, everything is allowed. And for me, it is a mirror from what's happening in the West, how money is valued there and used there.
Do you think people really understand the magnitude of AIDS? Let us know what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us, or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Mary Knoll brother John Mullen, Sister Pauline, Sister Mary, Lucy, Clara, and Jacinta are just some of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Eleanor Ostrinsky, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, and subscribe to our podcast. Check it out. www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.